Let us turn our Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, and I shall read from verse 3 through verse 11. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 11. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel with this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending, confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that you love, your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. Let us pray. Break thou the bread of life, O Lamb of God. I pray, Father, that this morning that we will not be just the hearers of your word, but the doers of your word. Help me. I stand behind your cross. I'm naked and helpless. May your word be preached from this pulpit this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just before I took a trip to United States, we had a small group prayer meeting at our home, and we were collecting prayer items. And my son asked God to give him toy guns. And after that, my daughter stood up and asked God to give her Barbie, many Barbies, in fact. And one young man, too, stood up and asked for a handset, mobile phone, Samsung, preferably. You know, we ask almost anything we want from God, and we trust in Him because He's our Father, and in fact, we can ask almost anything under heaven. We can ask Him for security, we can ask Him for safety, and in fact, you have been praying for me for safety when we were in ethnic violence. You've been praying for us in the mission field that God will protect us. We ask God anything. I have asked God to give a beautiful wife, and He did. And many of you did. So, this morning, what should we be really asking God so that we will grow as believer and we will grow as a church, that we will grow as a community of believers? You know, here Apostle Paul wrote to this church in Philippi, and this church is in a very difficult, and they were facing hardships. They were facing a lot of challenges around them in their culture. The church was basically very immature, the church in Philippines, when Apostle Paul wrote to them. They were very emotional. They were very impulsive. They were changeable. They were impetuous. They were loud and proud. They were curious about new things. And they want to see strange things. and they were interested in the unknown. And this church was rampant with sexual immorality. They were able to accept almost every lifestyle. They were immoral culture, worshiping gods and goddesses, worshiping nature, the moon and the stars. They were committing all crimes and all kinds of sins, and they were divided in their doctrine because they were Jewish believers, Gentile believers. Some were still, they have their, the Jewish believers have their baggage of their culture, and the Hellenistic philosophy was very strong. Some of them were holding to that. Their worldviews were very different. And in fact, one commentator wrote that they were even racist. At this point, Apostle Paul came along and wanted to see this church growing, and wrote to them and told them that he prayed for them. That number one, he prayed for them that they will grow in love, that they will abound in love, that their love will abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Apostle Paul, number one, wants this church to grow in love. What kind of love? If you look at the text, in the original text, it's agape love. The love that comes from God. The love that is not born of me, but the love that is born of God. The kind of love that Jesus has demonstrated on the cross is what Apostle Paul wanted to grow in the church, to grow in their life. Number one, to love God with that love that God has given. You know, it's, I think, a necessity if we really want to love God, that we must have the God-given love in us. We cannot love God with our own love, with our own strength, with our own might, with our own power. We must have Jesus Christ to be able to love him. We must be indwelled by the Holy Spirit so that we can deeply and truly love him. Do you have Jesus? Are you indwelled by the Holy Spirit? Sometimes a lot of people claim that they love God, but they love for their personal gain. They love with their human strength. But we got to love God with his own strength, his own power, with the kind of love that Jesus has demonstrated on the cross. To me, loving God, how do we know that we really love God? When we love his word, we know that we love him. This morning also I shared that, you know, I fell in love with a young lady when I was a teenager. You know how teenagers love one another so much? In those days there was no telephone. The only way that you can express your love to your lover is to write letter or to speak to them in words. I would write letters, pages after pages, and send. She would do the same thing. We exchanged letters. We exchanged words. And I can't just, you know, stay still until I hear from her. Or she cannot stay still until she is not in peace, until he hears from me. When I get letter, we laugh even the postman coming, you know. When we see the postman afar in the college, oh, we run after him. Do I have a letter, you know? So we want to hear from them. Now, this morning, if you really love God, you love his word. Do you love his word? Are you reading your Bibles? Are you meditating on it? You know, one way that we can know whether we really love God or not is prayer. When we pray, we talk to God. We love to talk to people whom we love. We don't want to talk to people whom we don't love. We only want to talk to people that we really love, and we can't stop talking. Do you love to talk to God? Do you pray? Are you praying? Do you teach your children how to pray? Worship is how we express our love to God, that we worship His majesty, His power, His greatness, His awesomeness. You know, missing worship service to me is like a sin in my life. I cannot worship, I cannot miss Sunday morning worship. To me, worship is so important. It gives me life for the entire week. When I don't worship God, really like we did this morning, I'm paralyzed. I become a good Christian, a strong Christian, a strong witness when I really worship God. How do you know that you really love God? Are you giving your tithes and offering? Giving is a test whether your love is deep enough for God. The Bible says in Malachi that you rob me. How? They ask. In tithes and offering. Bring back all your tithes and offering to my house, and I'll pour down blessings from heaven. When we don't tithe, we are robbing God. In our church, we make tithe, giving tithes compulsory. There were times that we even announced those who do not give tithes. You do that here? No, probably not. This many people give tithes this much, and these people don't give. You know, in early days when we became Christian, they excommunicate Christians who do not give tithes. Maybe it's here, this is something that we do it secretly, but I know that many, many in churches today give tithes to Jesus Christ, to the church. That's how we express our love for God. We express our love for God also in loving our fellow human being. This is the hardest part of loving God. Expressing the love of God by loving human being. It's easy to love those who are lovable, but loving people who are not lovable is the challenge. I adopted two sons. One, the oldest, was 6, and the younger one was 4 on our wedding day. They became immediately our flower boys on our wedding day, Rita and I. We raised them up, you know, hoping that they will grow up fearing the Lord, loving the Lord. But as they grow up, they became really a challenge in our life. It was just against our expectation. They become so unlovable. But yet, we're called to love the unlovable. Loving a lovable, loving somebody who can pay back is easy. Anyone can do that. Even the Hindus, the Muslims are even better. But you know, Christians are called to love those who are unlovable. We are even called to pray for those our enemies. Even we're called to love our enemies. That is the challenge. So if you really love God, you'll really love your fellow being with agape love, as Christ loved you when we were yet in our sins and transgression. Christ loved us when we were the most unlovable. Christ loved us when we were His enemies and died for us. That is the true reflection of loving God. So Apostle Paul says to this church, listen, if you want to grow as a church, if you want to grow as individual Christians, love must abound among you in knowledge and in the depth of insight. Loving God deeply and loving God, loving your fellow being deeply. Do we do that? You'll realize if you love one another so deeply that God will take a special note and will make your church grow, and will make you grow. When we love so much one another, people see you know, the songwriter writes, maybe taken, yeah, it is taken from the scripture, they will know that we're Christians by our love. By our love, they will know that we're Christian. When you don't love your brother, the love of God is not in you. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and following, love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't envy, love doesn't boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong, nor delight in evil, but rejoices with truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. This is love. Is love abound in our church? Do we really love God? And do we really love our fellow being? Second, Apostle Paul wrote to this church and told them that he prayed for them that they will be able to discern what is best for them and for the church. Not just that they'll be able to discern what is right from wrong, or from wrong to right, but what is best, better than good. That is pure, and that is blameless until the day of Christ. We live in a culture overwhelmed by idolatry, all kinds of idolatry, materialism, technology, and we keep things greater thing. We keep a lot of things greater than God in our lives. That is idolatry. We worship. I don't know here in this culture, but in my India, people worship nature. People worship astrologists. When they have problem, they go to witchcraft. We live in a culture full of challenges, and especially even among Christians. I think of those mega churches preaching humanism, to say the least, that trusting in human power, positive thinking, it's good to be positive. But how can we be positive? Only through the strength of Jesus Christ. Putting positive thinking, positive attitude before Jesus Christ. Pride has ever ruled. Prosperity theology, relativism. And in our culture today, like the church in Philippines, Christ is decreasing and man is increasing more and more. In fact, it's very interesting that Pastor Joe Wright offered this prayer at the beginning of the new session of Kansas State. Listen to this. Listen to his prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, "Oh, to those who call evil good," but that is exactly what we have been doing. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and call it politics. We have embezzled public funds and call it essential expenses. We have institutionalized bribery and call it suites of office. We have coveted our neighbor's possession and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored value of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Amen. The prayer of Pastor Joe Wright reflects our culture. And in the midst of this, the scripture, the word of God, calls us to be able to discern the best. I was talking to the pastor about your upcoming presidential election, and I consider you very unfortunate. If I were you to vote, I don't know. Sometimes I felt that maybe America is under judgment. Maybe God has a purpose in it. The best, to choose the best, to be able to discern the best that is glorifying, here it says, to be able to discern the best that is pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Listen, in your everyday life, in your everyday dealing, you'll have to make decision. You have to decide what is the best that will glorify God, that will present you before Christ blameless. Number three, Apostle Paul wrote to this church, and asked them to pray to God, to ask God that they will be able to bear the fruits of righteousness. In fact, it says not the fruits, but the fruit of righteousness. Here Paul, Apostle Paul, prayed that the church bear the fruit of righteousness. But how can a church bear the fruit of righteousness unless they have a righteous God? Unless they worship a righteous God, how can I bear the fruit of righteousness unless Christ's righteousness is imputed in me? I like that King James English, imputed. Is Christ's righteousness imputed in you? Do you have Jesus Christ in your heart? Or do you know for sure that Christ possesses you? Or maybe you think you do. Maybe Christ never knew you. But how do you know that you really have Jesus Christ? That His righteousness is imputed in you? The Bible says that the act of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. It will do nothing good. Nothing good to me, nothing good to the church, nothing good to the society. But that righteousness, that fruit comes from that righteousness, which is Christ's righteousness, only will bear fruit, and that fruit will transform lives and culture and people. So Apostle Paul said to this church, hey, listen, bear the fruit of righteousness. Today we should be asking God, God, please cause me to bear the fruit of righteousness in my life. Ask God that our church, who is a church, not a building, you, me, that we will bear the fruit of righteousness wherever we are, in our workplaces, in our dealing with others, in our dealing with our neighbors. And the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the Bible, I'll read again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. To those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This morning, my dear friends, ask God to let you bear the fruit of the Spirit all the time. And the Bible says that when you bear the fruit of the Spirit, that God's name will be praised and God will have the glory. Only the righteousness that is imputed in us, that righteousness bearing fruit in our life, can glorify God and is a praise to God. Do you have that righteousness? Should we not ask this morning, God, make me to bear that fruit of righteousness. Help me to be loving. Help me to be joyful. Help me to be peaceful. Help me to be patient. Help me to be kind. Help me to be good. Help me to be faithful. Help me to be gentle. Help me to be self-control. This morning, my friends, we should be asking God love from Him that will abound in us, in our life. That we will love Him deeply and we will love our neighbors, our friends, our fellow being. And by doing that, people will know that we are Christians and we will draw people to Him. In fact, the first church, they draw people daily because they love one another so much. And this morning we should be asking God, help me to be able to discern the best in this culture, a very challenging, difficult culture where many are confused with, they don't even know what is good from what is bad. Help me, God, that is pure and blameless. What is that discernment that I need to be able to know what is good, more than good, what is best, and what is blameless? And we should be asking ourselves all our lives to bear the fruit of the Spirit. May God bless us that we will bear the fruit of the Spirit in our life as individual believers and as a church. May God bless you.